This is Las Vegas Weekly's Radio Mag on KUNV. I'm staff writer Erin Ryan, and on today's show, we're going to talk about education, a hot issue across America and arguably even hotter in Nevada, no pun intended, where some recent stats on public schools have been troubling. It's a controversial issue no matter where you are. And one of the most controversial of the options is homeschool, which has had an interesting history, has come a long way in the past few decades. And I have here today Elisa Wall, who is one of the founders and an officer of the Nevada Homeschool Network. She's also founder and president of the Rise Resource Center. And through NHN, she's a liaison for Clark County School District for people who want to know what homeschooling actually is, how you do it, how you get connected, and where you go from there. So thank you so much for joining us today, Elisa.
No problem.
So I want our listeners to know that back in August, I think it was, I came to one of the info sessions that you put on pretty regularly for parents who want to come and just talk to other parents who are doing homeschool and talk to you who have been doing it forever about, you know, what the deal is. And it was really interesting because one of the women who came brought her mother. And the first thing she said was, my mom's not for homeschooling, so I brought her with me. And everybody could tell that the grandmother was really, you know, loved her family, was very, was there to ask important questions. But she seemed, I don't know, a little bristly at first. And I just wondered if that's something that happens frequently or if that's kind of a less common thing for you to have people come and be very sort of combative at first when they're talking about education.
Yeah, I that's probably the most combative I've ever dealt with.
Yeah.
And it's hard because you know she's doing it out of love and partially out of ignorance. And it's not ignorance because she, you know, doesn't care about the topic. She just doesn't know anybody that's doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. I think she had mentioned she had some family that was homeschooling, quote unquote, but wasn't really doing anything. So I think that gave her kind of a bad feel for it.
Yeah.
And hopefully coming to that new homeschoolers class, she got to meet those of us that are out there in the community doing things with our kids. And she heard us say, we know you're going to be, you know, a really active participant in these kids' education. Keep coming back. Keep going on field trips. Keep getting your daughter out there. Encourage her to go to park days. Do what you do best. Encourage her, you know, encourage her to be a great mom. So I think she left, I hope she left, feeling very positive about the environment, especially here in Nevada and Las Vegas, as far as homeschooling goes. Great support groups.
Yeah, well, I watching the conversation unfold, I have to say I saw the look on your face when she said certain things, including that all homeschooled kids were weird. And you had this combination of total empathy, like you could really understand where she was coming from, and at the same time, like, bring it on, lady, because I've been here, I have seen, and I'm going to tell you where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And I felt that, you know, not only you, but the other moms who were there, they each had their own story about what it was that pushed them, you know, to try this after, you know, for most of them having their kids either in public school or in private school or charter school or magnet school, you know, kind of trying different things and feeling like they just weren't getting what they needed. For you, it's kind of even more interesting because you grew up in New Jersey, which I believe has the highest high school graduation rate in the U.S. Schools are pretty quality there in general.
My school was, yeah.
And you grew up in a rural, you know, part of the state where it was smaller and it was even more individualized and focused.
Yep.
And
yeah.
Even there,
my son would have gone to the same elementary school and had the same teachers I would have that I had.
And your parents were both teachers forever. So you know, would be one of those people who I would imagine trusted in the public system and thought, well, this is great. I had a great, you know, experience myself. My parents both do it. I'm just going to go for it. And you didn't. And I was hoping that you could tell me what it was that made you make this decision when Brian was a very little boy.
You know, when I was in school, especially high school, I found every reason under the sun not to attend school. I would go on missionary trips. You know, you get to a point where you miss a certain amount of days and you have to get like permission. So I'd go before the school board and say, well, I want to take this missions trip for, you know, a couple of months. And can I get permission to do that? Yeah, I'd be a foreign exchange student. Because they'd give me my work, I'd get it done like on the airplane on the way over, and I'd have all this time to explore and learn through living. And I just love that. We didn't know about homeschooling. I guarantee you, if my family knew about homeschooling, I would have pressured my parents into doing it. And they probably would have. Because
like a five-year-old, probably.
Yeah, probably. But my parents were very, very active in our education. We grew up playing outside and scaling trees and just really in a wonderful childhood. My dad would bring home manipulatives and we'd read all the time. And no matter how much we got grounded, we would never be grounded from reading because that was too important.
Yeah.
And he would tell us that. And boy, that was, you know, I could do whatever I wanted. You're not going to take away reading. And reading was very important to me. So.
Sure.
So I grew up in a very educational lifestyle. And when I had, I think when I was pregnant with Brian, I'd read an article about homeschooling and it kind of was somewhere in the back of my head. And then by the time he was two, and we were starting to think about looking at putting him in some of the preschools that I had been to. Those are very small little preschools out of little churches in my hometown had 1,200 people in it.
Wow.
So, you know, very, very small. I just didn't want to give him up for 3 days a week. Why? I mean, he was progressing so well. I got to be right there with him and watch his little eyes spark when he got it. And I had a very educational mindset. You know, we'd be out taking a walk and we'd be looking at the bee and, oh, there's a squash bee, and we'd bring it home and put it under the microscope, you know, from a very, very young age. And everything was education to me. It was our lifestyle at two, at zero, at three, at four.
Sure.
It's always been. So I just never saw the need to put them in. And
well, and I think when I think about someday if I have kids of my own, the time from, you know, when they're born to school age, mm-hmm. which I think in Nevada is seven.
Correct.
When you
compulsory
start.
Attendance.
I don't think that a lot of parents are, I know they're concerned about what the kid is learning and about the development mm-hmm. and what they're being exposed to, but there's not this like pressure until that age.
Yeah.
For at least for me, I think about it, I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, well, as long as I was involved and was taking my kid around and showing him things and, you know, helping him learn the basics, preparing him for this time when he enters, mm-hmm. you know, the system, and then it's go time. Yeah. And it's interesting to me that that's kind of the attitude that I have and an attitude that I think other people probably have too, that that's just the way our culture is, that we have our kids with us until they're old enough to go to school.
Exactly.
And to be in this completely different system and way of learning than it has been with us
exactly.
in most cases.
Exactly.
And I, you know, one of the things I said to you the first time we talked was, I would be so terrified to trust myself. I think that I'm an educated, you know, and reasonably intelligent person. I'm thoughtful and I care a lot about any project that I undertake. But I would be, you know, I would just kind of throw up my hands and say, how do I start? How do I teach him math when I was so bad mm-hmm. at it myself? Mm-hmm. You know, and what gave you the trust in yourself and the confidence, even just to start and to give yourself time to do it?
I don't think I ever questioned my competency. I really don't. Most people do. I grew up, my dad always told me how smart I was. I don't think I ever thought about, you know, oh my gosh, one day he's going to be 17 and I'm going to have to learn, you know, to teach him something X, Y, or Z. I just was going from go from that point, and I was just finding the resources. And that's what we try to tell parents. Just like you said, you have them until it's time to put them in school. But if you can grasp that same mentality and keep that mentality the whole time and not feel that pressure, that's when the learning happens. Think about how much they learn from zero to five.
A ton.
You know, if you have a stroke, everything you have to relearn are things you've learned from zero to five. You know, and that's the important stuff right there. It's society. It's, you know, your neighbors, your sisters, your mother, everybody puts that pressure on you. Oh, they have to go to school because they're, you know, they're equipped to teach.
Right.
That doesn't mean we're not. We've right. been doing it since birth. And I try to tell parents that all the time. You've been doing this since birth. Nothing changes. You just up the resources. And here in Las Vegas, we've got so many resources, you know. It's just crazy. One of my friends loves horses, and I keep sending them horse resources. And last night, I was checking my email, and I got another horse resource. Here in a suburban area, I can tell you lots of horse resources. So no matter what the topic is, there are things out there that you can gravitate towards and have them help you learn. So I think, not to take it on a religious bent, but I am a believer, and I do think God gave me the peace to be able to do it, because there are a lot of people that do struggle with homeschooling, and I just know I have an inner peace that this is my journey with my children, and I don't question that.
Definitely. And I know that parental rights is mm-hmm. one of the things that Nevada Homeschool Network is so focused on fighting
Absolutely.
For, not just in the state, but, you know, taking part in national advocacy mm-hmm. for a parental rights amendment in the Constitution, and also even internationally. I know there's a UN treaty that's kind of on the table, and it involves some educational mandates and some ways that rights would be restricted. And
you've done your homework. I didn't talk to you about this before. Very good.
I'm a good student, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting to think that you could have a child and be concerned about your own ability to influence that child's life and to make decisions about, you know, how he or she would be educated. I never really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you know, until 1993, homeschool was illegal still in some states, even though at some point in American history, it had probably been the norm.
The norm, absolutely.
Definitely. And there's a whole list of famous homeschoolers, most of the most loved presidents in the mm-hmm. United States, and other people who are really brilliant. But I was hoping you might tell me a little bit about that, about the kind of the progression from, you know, the 80s, when homeschooling was becoming a little more popular, but it was underground because mm-hmm. there were so many restrictions and truancy laws and stuff that scared people mm-hmm. to the point where they pulled their kids out of school and just hid.
Yeah.
And to today, you know, and being in that living room with you and all these very contemporary moms, you know, who you would not, I mean, you wouldn't think anything of it in the way they're doing things and how active everybody is in the community mm-hmm. and whatnot. So, I mean, did you know anything about that time when it was more restricted? And
I was very young back then.
Yes.
I have been homeschooling for a long time, but I'm very young. Thank you. what I can tell you is that because there were not a lot of laws, and the laws that were there were very restrictive, people did really hide. And that's really hurt homeschooling today, even, because you'll get people that say, oh, what about socialization?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are more than, 44 groups here in town alone in Las Vegas, homeschool support groups that do activities, that do field trips, that do park days. We are active in Las Vegas, and even in New Jersey, in the small town I grew up in, we were in the county seat. We had a lot of homeschool groups in our county. So there's homeschoolers everywhere. So the socialization myth came about because people were hiding before the laws got less restrictive. So that kind of hurts us now. People still think, oh, those weirdos, they're locked in their house all day. They don't even know how to go to the grocery store. Forget about balancing a checkbook. Oh, you know, they can't talk to people. And that's not the way it is. And a lot of that is because we did deregulate. There are a lot of studies that have shown that overregulation does not help in the progress of homeschooled students. National Home Education Research Institute, National Home Education Research Institute, NHERI, has done some great studies about regulations affecting the ability for students, their achievement. And it's debunked a lot of myth that you need regulation. And so that's, you know, big studies like that are really important for us when we go before the legislature. So I, again, was not around, but I do know that back in the 90s, they started, I think from the 80s to the 90s, they started really regulating homeschooling. And people started saying, oh, they're doing this. They need some oversight, or they won't do it correctly. And I don't think the results were coming out how they wanted them to come out. And parents weren't really happy with that. And then you get the advent of more homeschoolers and more test results and people just doing great, you know. And so then we can present and show, you know what, regulation in this state is less than this state. And look, they're doing better or they're doing the same. So let's knock it down a little bit over here. So that's really what happened. And starting in the 90s, we started deregulating. And that's been nothing but fabulous.
Well, we are going to take a quick break and come right back to talk more about homeschooling in Nevada. Right now, we're in the middle of KUNV's Radiothon. Please donate at KUNV.org. We're back with Las Vegas Weekly's Radio Mag on KUNV. I'm staff writer Erin Ryan, here with Elisa Wall, who I would qualify as a homeschool ninja here in Nevada. She is one of the centers of its universe, an advocate who is out there every day, not only educating her own kids, but educating lots of parents about what homeschooling is and how it's done here in the state. We were just talking about some of the laws and regulations and how things have changed since the 90s. In 1993, homeschool was legalized across America, and states have really different regulations. There are 10, I think, where you don't even have to register your kid if you decide to homeschool. So the state doesn't even know you're out there, essentially.
Exactly. Like I was telling you, in New Jersey, that was the case. It's right. Presumed upon birth that you're going to feed your child, clothe your child, and educate your child until such time as you put them into school or until such time as, you know, CPS comes and knocks on your door and says, we've been notified that you're not feeding them.
And so Nevada, I know, is among the states where regulation is considered to be loose. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. And I can do that because I helped found Nevada Homeschool Network, which is our statewide homeschool advocacy organization. We were founded in 2002. Late 2001. And at that point, homeschooling was under the State Board of Ed. And it was a little regulated, which was, it created some hardships and it created some funky things going on as far as people making money off of telling you how to do it right.
Okay.
But right was their right.
Now, some of the things that would have been included in the regulations would have been mandatory testing.
Mandatory testing. If you were a first-year homeschooler, you would have had to have had a consultant or a teacher sign you off. So,
what would that entail? Well, you know, if the teacher came and chatted with you, you know, was it like one interview or was it?
Well, I'm not sure. When I moved into Nevada, I was a consultant because I homeschooled for more than 3 years, which was what enabled you to be a consultant. But the problem with that is there was no regulation of the consulting. So I was going out volunteering, doing what I always do, talk about homeschooling, get people excited about it. Whereas Joe Schmo, to the left of me, is charging, you know, $50-$60 to consult with you. And there's no regulation on what I'm saying, and there's no regulation on what he's saying. So that became a little bit of an issue, and we asked the State Board of Ed to either regulate consulting or get rid of it.
Right.
Regulation costs money, and then there's got to be oversight of who's right. Yeah, so we did away with it.
Right. And you mentioned CPS, which is Child Protective Services. Mm-hmm. When I was interviewing Frank Schnorbus, who's actually the chair of Nevada Homeschool Network now, he was saying that he has 7 kids, I think. His oldest daughter, Stephanie, is one of those kids that was the brightest in her class. She went to 4 different public schools and a private school before they pulled her out and started homeschooling when she was in 6th grade. And no matter what happened, she rocked every standardized test. She just could not be stopped. Mm-hmm. And most of their other kids did very well. They had one son who really struggled.
Frankie.
And it wasn't, you know, there's nothing different about the attention he was getting. In fact, he was getting more attention because he needed it. He really needed his mom to help him learn to read and some other things. And Frank said that, you know, at that time, there was worry that if they hadn't had all these other kids and proof that these kids, you know, on the tests were doing so well that he doesn't know what might have happened if the state might have stepped in and said, clearly, you know, there's an issue. You're not giving your son what he needs. and we may take some action.
Yeah.
Now, the action, I'm not exactly sure how it works, but he did say that, you know, they can step in and basically say that you're being negligent or even abusive, depending on the circumstance and what they determine, and you might even have your kid taken away from you. I don't know if this is still something that's a concern because the laws are so friendly to homeschoolers, and you know, there's an amount of accountability and trust that the network NHN has mm-hmm. really been able to, I think, instill in the legislature and among the board. But can you speak to that? The idea that, you know, if the state doesn't know exactly what your kid is learning mm-hmm. and when, and doesn't know, you know, through a test, you know, through that one measure, I guess, how they're doing, that they could accuse you of, you know, abuse. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's kind of jarring.
Yeah. We put in, when we wrote the laws in 2007, we put in a section that addressed that. And it says that only a court can accuse us of educational neglect.
Oh, okay.
And if so, then we are to show an educational plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when Nevada Homeschool Network came about, one of the things that we always try to talk about is our commitment to the community. We are out there. We are educating people. We don't want parents just saying, oh, I think I'll homeschool. You know, we want you to come into it knowing what you're getting into. We want diligent, loving parents who've chosen this path. And we've actually gone to bat. I don't know if I even told you this. There was a law in the books that said that if you were a violent, if you were expelled for a violent reason, then you were mandated to go into homeschooling. Hmm. And we said, no. We want homeschoolers to really want to do this. Let them go to a charter school. Let them do distance ed. Let them have options. Don't mandate them to homeschooling, because that's going to really hurt our image, and it's going to hurt, you know, the journey.
If the parents don't really want to do it,
if the parents don't really want to do it,
that's a problem.
Absolutely.
Guess.
And we won. We helped fix that law, and we won that law. So now kids that are expelled for a violent reason have different options. So that was very important to us, because we want you to explore this and know what the options are.
Right. And Frank said that one of the things he does when he talks to curious parents, and I'm sure you probably do this too, he really listens to the story they tell and the mm-hmm. things they're saying, and he really questions, you know, whether this is the right thing.
Absolutely.
And if he thinks that maybe, you know, they're not quite mm-hmm. at the point where they're ready to commit the time and mm-hmm. the energy and even the money in some cases to making this work for their kids and for them, he says, well, what about, you know, this as an option?
Yeah. That's really how RISE Resource Center came to be, because I get a lot of phone calls from the school district, people that want to homeschool or think they want to homeschool.
Right.
And the conversation goes, you know, little Jimmy was just kicked out of school. They found something that it wasn't his, you know, but, you know, he was kicked out of school and I work all day. And, you know, we have to homeschool. Really? Well, do you know that homeschooling, you know, takes a lot of your time, and, you know, you might have to look at some different curriculums and, you know, implement some lesson plans and really teach him and get him out going on field trips. And, oh, no, I just want something I can just give him to do. And, oh, well, have you explored the option of maybe a charter school? Oh, I don't know anything about that. Well, why don't you come talk with me, and I'll go over all the list of all the charter schools with you, if they have a building or if they're done from home, and we can find something that fits you a little bit better than homeschooling. And so because of that, I've really, really become dug into this idea that we need a resource center. We need a place where parents can go and say, you know, the brick-and-mortar public school down the street's not working for me. What are my options? Here in Las Vegas, we've got, the titles are crazy, entitlement school, you know, magnet school, charter school, brick and mortar, distance ed, you know, what do they all mean? Parents don't know, and they don't know they have options. They don't know they can start off in one and move to another and try another and end up in, you know, in the one that really fits them. So we did start RISE, and we really do want parents to come in and talk with us and find what's the best fit for their child.
And speaking of children, I had the pleasure of meeting your oldest son, Brian, who's 17. He recently graduated from high school and is now attending.
He graduated from what?
From Hart High School?
Was high that? School. Homeschool high school.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, homeschool high school. And he's now going to College of Southern Nevada for some prereqs for a program that he's hoping to apply to in California.
Correct.
That specializes in exotic animal training and management.
Yeah.
You made kind of a funny statement. You said, you know, I didn't give birth to him hoping that this is what he would do. And that's one of the reasons that you favor the unschooling method, which I think is the idea of child-led learning and having their natural interests and life experiences kind of guide the way. That doesn't mean there's no curriculum and no sort of assignments involved, but it's very much you stepping back and seeing what interests your child and facilitating the learning.
Exactly.
And he knows an interesting list of things. And you even said you know the minimum of what he knows.
And that's what I try to get across, is I know the minimum of what he knows. By the time he was like 14, I was the money machine. I was the driver. I was not a full-time teacher because he wanted to learn Japanese. I've got other children. I can't.
And you don't speak Japanese.
And I don't speak Japanese.
This is a problem.
This is a problem. So, you know, and there comes a point where you really are looking for other teachers, whether it's within the community, whether it's a CD or a DVD, whether it's a co-op you belong to, because I can't do it all. I can't be the teacher for all of them for every subject. I just don't know it all. So we look to the community for a lot of things like that.
Absolutely. And I know that you do a lot of shopping at, you know, thrift stores, and you find stuff at yard sales, and you're always looking for educational materials, which are everywhere.
It's like Christmas. If you know your kids into Star Wars, you're looking for Star Wars stuff all year long. I know my kids into rocks, so if I'm at a yard sale and I find a magnifying glass, I'm going to buy it.
And you found frog eggs at a dollar store, right? I mean,
The frog was it's a little plastic frog, and it's got the model of, it starts off as a tadpole, and then it starts getting its little legs, you know, and then it becomes a frog. And yeah, that was at the dollar store. So.
Well, because I think for some parents, they're intimidated by the idea of homeschool, not only because of whatever they may or may not know, but how much it might cost them. And you have said that it can be done for free. You can obviously spend a little bit here and there on books and bits and pieces of curriculum. There are some very structured, you know, packaged curriculums that can cost up to $1,200, which is quite a bit. But when you think about what you might spend on private school, if that was, you know, something you were interested in doing, maybe that's an option. And the money issue is interesting with homeschooling, because one of the arguments people have had against it is that the per pupil spending goes down for those schools where homeschoolers might come out. But there was a study done by the Nevada Policy Research Institute that was, I think, subsidized by Nevada Homeschool
Network. It was commissioned by Nevada Homeschool Network.
Mm-hmm. And it showed that there was actually a cost savings to the state of between $25 and $34 million, I think,
for
the homeschoolers because of the astronomical cost of educating them and all of the different things that go into having a kid in school.
Administrative costs,
yeah.
School buildings,
yeah.
Transportation. You know, you add a couple more hundred kids, there's another bus, you know?
And that might be a fun place to end. You actually said that there was only one time your son asked to go to public school.
Yeah.
And what was the reason?
He was 5 and he wanted to ride a school bus. And my mom had been a teacher, and she came home from teaching when she started having children, went back to it later on. But she was a school bus driver because it allowed her to be home, you know, during when we were home. And so she brought the bus down and tooled them around in the parking lot. And there went that. So,
well, Elisa Wall, it's been a pleasure having you on today. And thank you so much for the real education I've gotten about homeschool. If you want to know more about it, pick up this week's issue of Las Vegas Weekly. We have a big feature story with lots of good, juicy information about the options that are out there for you and how this option is working for some local families. Thanks so much. I'm Erin Ryan. This has been Las Vegas Weekly's Radio Mag on KUNV.